Brothers and sisters, I proclaim to you this afternoon the word of our God as we could read it from those two portions of the gospel according to Luke. And I ask your attention in particular for what's written in chapter 2, verse 19. And then we read these striking words, "But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart." Mary, a new mother. To the best of the information available to us, she'd be 13, 14 years of age. And we're thinking, she's overwhelmed. She's a mother. There's a baby dependent on her for years now to come. And we say, what's she going to do now? She's a long way from Nazareth. Presumably that's where her mother is where she was raised. Seek her help, seek her advice. What'd she do? And the text says she treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. What'd she do? Sits there and thinks. Thinks deeply about what's transpired. She's a mom. What do you do, sisters? What did you do when you became a mom? Sit there and think? Brothers, when you became a dad, think? Now that you are moms and dads and grandmothers and grandfathers and perhaps even aunts and uncles and so on, think. Does that give you food for thought? Family day. So what? I summarize the sermon using this theme. Jesus' mother thinks deeply on the task God gave to her. In developing that theme, I'd like to ask your attention for 3 points. Why would she ponder? What would her thoughts be? How do we respond? The first question then, why would she ponder? The text, brothers and sisters, gives us Mary's response to what the shepherds had said to her. The shepherds had been out in the field keeping watch over their flocks by night. The skies broke open first with the presence of a single angel who said to them, "I tell you news of great joy. There's born to you a Savior who's Christ the Lord. You'll find him over there in a manger, wrapped in swaddling cloths." And the heavens break open again with a choir of angels, and they're all singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and earth peace." And then it's quiet again. And the shepherds look at each other and say, "Let's check this out." And they go to Bethlehem, and they find it as the angel has said, and we can much understand they're talking with Mary and with Joseph, sharing what they had experienced in the fields and how they had left the flocks and they traveled here, and it turned out to be exactly what the angel said. A baby lying in a manger. The shepherds, in turn, head back to the flocks, And they go and tell everybody along the way what they'd seen and confirmed in Bethlehem. And result is, of course, that the hill country around Bethlehem, it's all astir with the news what the shepherds have said. And over there is Mary. Treasures these things in her heart. She's quiet. The Holy Spirit actually uses two verbs to describe what Mary's doing. The first verb is recorded for us as she treasured up all these things. It's the same word, treasured up, it's the same word that's used elsewhere to describe what Herod did to John the Baptist. He put him in prison. Locked him up. And that's what Mary's doing. She's taking the words that the shepherds have told to her, and she's imprisoning them in her heart, locking them up. And the second word is pondering, thinking deeply, throwing it around in her mind, mulling it over, trying to make sense of all this information she's gotten. And we need to know, too, the way the Greek is put together. She's not just thinking for 2 minutes and let it go, but it's an ongoing activity. She's deep in thought. So what do you think, sisters, brothers? Does Mary do well to sit there and think? Or should she be up and talking about what she experienced in her pregnancy, the birth? This is what the angels, the shepherds told me. Should she join the conversation? Interact with the people of town who are astir about what's happened? What do you think? Why would the Holy Spirit want you and me to know that Mary's thinking? Why do we have to know that? That question, brothers and sisters, is vital. Why is Mary just thinking? Still thinking. In our churches, by God's grace, there's many mothers. This congregation too. And this is 21st century Canada, where the role of the woman has been redefined in the last few decades. You're well aware. It was understood in the past the role of the mother was in the home. And dad brought in the means that mom could stay home and focus on the children. But that's become she's to get a career. And perhaps somewhere along the line of her career, she interrupts her work, has a baby, maternity leave, and then entrusts the baby to the experts, daycare, and eventually kindergarten, and off to school, and she herself goes back to work. And maybe in a few years' time, repeat the cycle. She's a career woman. I notice with gratitude that there's many mothers in the midst of our churches who resist that trend, and many fathers to make it possible for mom to stay home with the children. But why would moms stay home? And why would dads make that possible? And you can say, well, it's because that's how we do things in the churches. Well, yes, why do we do things like that in the churches? Well, sisters, brothers, isn't it because of who the child is? Who's the child? The shepherds identified for Mary who her baby was. Just take your Bibles and have a look again at Luke chapter 2. Who is the baby? Chapter 2, verse 11. And this is what the shepherds write, report to Mary and to Joseph. Verse 11, the angel says to the shepherds, to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Now there's three names there. That little baby, say the shepherds to Mary, and they're pointing to the infant in the manger, that's the Savior. That's Christ, meaning the Messiah, the anointed of God. This isn't just any baby. God has anointed your infant, Mary. And then they add, look at what it says. This is Christ the Lord. And we got to know that that word, the Lord, catches the Old Testament name Yahweh. Now you think about it. Here's this young mother, a teenager. She gets told by these shepherds, your little baby is Savior, is anointed, is Yahweh himself. What's going through Mary's mind? Well, about a year ago, an angel had appeared to her. It's chapter 1. And what did the angel said? We'll take a look. Chapter 1, verse 31. You're going to conceive in your womb, Mary, and bear a son, and you call his name Jesus. What's that mean? Savior. Further, verse 32, he'll be great, he'll be called the Son of the Most High. The Son of the Most High. And Mary's taken aback, and she says, I don't understand, I'm a virgin, how will this be? And the angel continues, verse 35, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, Mary, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child who will be called holy will be called the Son of God. Meaning? Your baby, the Son of God? Well, Mary knows what happened next. She became pregnant. And there was no man involved. She knew that. The Holy Spirit had come upon her. And it's now so many months later, and she has a baby. And here come these shepherds, and they confirm for her the word that she'd heard so many months before. This is the Son of the Most High. They say, that's Yahweh. Anointed. Savior. Tell me, congregation, would that confirmation of what the angels told her a year ago, in your arms, in the manger, is Yahweh, is God, do you think that would make Mary talk? Or would it silence her? And it seems to me that the shepherds would leave the manger and trumpet around in the countryside all that's happened, that they would talk, we get that. But that Mary would sit there and think, we get that too. We're not surprised. But now put a finger on it. What is she thinking about? What would you be thinking about? It's our second point. What are her thoughts? And the obvious answer, brothers and sisters, is surely, how in the world am I supposed to be mother to the Son of God? That baby's the Savior? I mean, he's gonna save his people from their sins. He's Jesus. How do I have to be mother to him? It's too hard. I can't do this. He's the Son of God. How do I have to be mother to the Son of God? I can't do this. I trust we understand, brothers and sisters, that the Lord God did not need Mary in order to bring his Son into this world. He's the Almighty. He could create people from the dust of the earth in the beginning. Jesus later in his ministry says that God is able to raise up children of Abraham from these stones. God certainly doesn't need Mary to bring his Son into this world. But the fact is, God was pleased to use Mary to bring his Son into this world. That's what happened. And the result is, God is going to live in Mary's house. Mary now has to nurse the giver of life. Think about it. She has to change the diaper of him through whom the Father creates it all things. He who knows everything. She has to teach him the rudiments of arithmetic. How do you do that? This is too much. This is too hard. And if this is how God wanted things, that his Son come into the world through a woman, then why not through a wizened lady like Elizabeth? I mean, she's been around the block. Why through a teenager like Mary? So what's Mary to do? Ask her mother in Nazareth for advice? Would that be a good thing to do? Or maybe connect with the principal of the local school? Maybe he's got words of wisdom, or maybe connect with the professors in the pedagogy department in the University of Jerusalem. And we understand she could probably get bits of good information, advice from these people. But it's clear to us, I'm sure, that if this is the Son of God, if this is the anointed one, is this is the Savior whom God has sent into the world, then the go-to place that she needs to go to find out how to be mom for this baby is the Word of God. She has to go to the baby's Heavenly Father. Lord, how do I do this? And what do you think she's going to find when she goes to the pages of Scripture for instruction? And she'll learn, and in fact experience tells her this, that God is pleased to use a woman to bring people into the world. And yet not simply to bring people into the world, but the Lord would have the mother nurture the baby. Then it's true that the father absolutely has a vital role to play here too. But because this is about Mary, my focus this afternoon is on the role of the mother, without taking anything away from the critical role fathers have in nurturing children. But could I ask you to turn in your Bibles, please, to Genesis chapter 3. The first part of the chapter records the fall into sin, and then we get the words of the Lord to the woman in verse 16. He says, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. And we're needing to understand that what God is doing here is speaking about the central role that mother has in raising a child. If you look further into the passage, verse 17, God speaks to Adam and says, because you list the voice, human of the passage continues, at the end of 17, cursed is the ground because of you, 18, thorns and thistle bring forth for you, etc. And you notice the difference, the woman's place, verse 16, she's in the home with the children. He's out there collecting what it takes for home to function. The mother nurture, but says the Lord, in pain I will multiply your childbearing. And we understand that to be a reference to the labor itself, yes, but definitely not only. It's also the months before, and it's the years that follow. It's the mother who's concentrating her task, her focus on the child. And that is also why, congregation, it's striking that in Luke chapter 2, when Mary and Joseph bring their baby to the temple, then Simon says to Mary that a sword is going to pierce also her soul. Her soul, Mary's. That's all part of Genesis 3. I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. Years later, Jesus is crucified and Mary is there and she sees her son being killed. It affects her, simply because of mom's role in child rearing. Is the task of mothering possible? Is it too much? Back again to Genesis 3. For the task described in verse 16 follows the instruction in verse 15, where the Lord says, I'll put enmity between you, he's talking to Satan, I'll put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. And then they promise, He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. We understand what the Lord's announcing. There's going to come a son of the woman who's going to crush the devil. Well now, here's Mary, the so manyth woman after Genesis 3 who's received a child, a son. Can she be mother for this baby? Is the task too much? In light of the promise of Genesis 3:15 that God is going to give a son one day who's going to crush the seed of the serpent, she may go forward in faith, in the confidence, my God will supply. There is so much for Mary to think about. Can she do the task of mothering this child? On the basis of Genesis 3, the answer is yes, God will give the strength. And now there is so much more, congregation, I could say about what Mary would find in the Word of God about the task of mothering. But perhaps the best I can do for you is take the Apostle Paul's summary of Old Testament instruction on this point. And you're going to find that summary in 1 Timothy chapter 2. Let's turn to that passage. 1 Timothy 2. And there the apostle says in verse 15, she, woman, despite her involvement in the transgression of Genesis 3, will be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith and love and holiness with self-control. Childbearing, and with the childbearing, child rearing. Mother's task. If they continue in faith, working with the promise of Genesis chapter 3, the seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent. Faith. And love. For God, who gives a task of being mother, and love for the baby, the child entrusted to mom's care. If they continue in faith and love and holiness, a term that means doing things differently than, holy being separate, different than, how others would do it. Because you're working with the promise of Genesis 3. And then the apostle adds the words with self-control. A reference to self-discipline. But what generates that self-control, that self-discipline? The word that the apostle uses here describes the notion of having thought things through. What Mary did. She sat there, deep in thoughts. And what the apostle is wanting the women of Timothy's congregation to do, summarizing all Old Testament instruction, is, yes, childbearing, if they continue in faith and love and holiness. But think it through. What are you busy with? Is mothering just a natural thing? What are the promises? In what context are you busy? What are the privileges that come with being mother? Think it through. And the result of deep thought of the matter is self-control. You've thought it through. You know what's required of you. You know what the promises are. Self-discipline. And then what's striking, congregation, is what the apostle writes next. Chapter 3, We need to know the chapter divisions were not put there by the apostle. They were inserted by somebody centuries later. Directly after the apostle writes that woman will be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith and love and holiness with self-control, he keeps writing and he says, the saying is trustworthy, the gospel is faithful. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. What's the connection between 3 verse 1 and 2 verse 15? Why would anyone desire, aspire to the office of overseer? Well, surely, brothers, sisters, that's because mom has been devoted to her task. And she's busy raising her child, her children, in the conviction that the seed of the woman crushes the seed of the serpent. There's her faith. There's her love for God. There's her holiness. She's thinking in terms of things are different than what the eye sees. And so she's thought it through. She's got the long-term vision. The seed of the serpent is crushed. She's teaching her children these things. She's teaching her children that Christ is triumphant. She's teaching her children that they have a task in coming generations. When they grow up, God is pleased to use the product of her hands to be father for another generation, to be elders in the church, to be CEOs in the company, to be prime minister in the land, or whatever place God would give. But you see what's happening, brothers, sisters. The role of mother is so, so vital in preparing tomorrow's leaders. You know the expression, perhaps, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. There's moms. Central, central, central task. Now our third point. How should we respond? For there's many mothers here in the congregation. And fathers too. Many children in the congregation. Are you, sisters, competent to raise your children in 21st century Canada? Are you up to it? Who is the child? Your children? Like Mary's son, are children of God. Hers was the eternal natural Son of God. But yours, my sisters, my brothers, are children of God by adoption. In the covenant of grace that God has established with your little ones, he said, they're mine. Meaning, your daughters and your sons are saviors. No, not with a capital S. That's only Jesus could save his people from their sins. But as the Holy Spirit changes children of God, they're meant to live in this world as reflections of what Christ has obtained, and hence a source of the gospel. Shall we say saviors in the small letter S? Your children are anointed. They're Christ's. Think Lord's Day 12. Why are you called a Christian? Anointed by the Spirit to be prophets and priests and kings. Yes, that's your sons and your daughters. Oh, yourselves too. And your children are sons of God, daughters of God. Can you be mothers and fathers for such children? Have you got what it takes? And you can say, it's my job, so I'm going to do it. And I'm going to scour the internet for all the latest wisdom and how to be a good mom or dad. And there is no doubt there is some wisdom to be gained out there, yes. But surely, my sisters, my brothers, you understand. The go-to place for raising children of God is Father himself. You need to be busy with the Word. This is your primary go-to book. Mothers and fathers. And yes, in 21st century Canada, absolutely need to be people of the Word. That Word gives you the perspective you need to think long term. My child's sinful. My child's redeemed in Jesus Christ. That's the promise of the covenant God established with my son, my daughter. I was there at baptism. I heard it. So I need to think, will God keep his promises? Did he keep the promise of Genesis 3? Seed of the woman crushes the seed of the serpent. Well, yes, he did. He entrusted a son to Mary, God himself in the flesh. And Mary devoted her years to being mother in faith and love and holiness with self-discipline. She devoted herself to the task. And what became of her son? Crucified. Rejected. Failure. No! He died. He arose because he paid for your sins and mine. He ascended into heaven to receive the seat of God's right hand. Brothers, sisters, her baby became the world's number one office bearer. Even today, he's enthroned as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. With all the world, every president and every virus too, under his feet. But if he's office bearer number one, then you have every encouragement you need. Mothers, to devote yourself to your beautiful task of nurturing your little ones and forming in them the desire to serve in the kingdom of God as office bearer in some fashion. Be that elder. Be that fathers of covenant children. Be that leaders in the community or in the land. Office bearers. Exactly because we think in terms of Christ has triumphed. There's the beautiful task of being mom. Think long term. And dad. Tomorrow's Family Day. We relish the opportunity we have to spend time with children and grandchildren. Enjoy God's goodness in family. We can thank God for that. But let me suggest, brothers and sisters, that there's more to Family Day than simply that. God is pleased to use families to advance his kingdom. God entrusts his children by covenant to believing moms and believing dads. And there's your beautiful task. Glorious. You, my sisters, my brothers, get to raise your grandchildren's parents. Think long term. You get to raise your grandchildren's elders, ministers, community leaders. Think big. Your home is the cradle of civilization. Mary sat there and thought, our lives are busy, lots to do, but we do well to pause tomorrow and think, what are we really doing? And then Tuesday, and Wednesday, and beyond, carry on with the task, mothering, fathering, in faith, in love, in holiness, with self-control. Think it through. And God will bless. Amen.